evening and welcome back to the show. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. The rookie is ready to take your call, 651-989-5855. If you've had an experience with the Ouija board, good, bad, or indifferent, you want to talk to our guest about the Ouija board and her experiences and writing the book, you can certainly reach out to us and give us a call at 651-989-5855. Maribel will be with you in a few moments, calling from New York. Our guest this evening is Karen Dahlman. She's written a book called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion. And just to give you a little bit of information, Karen believes that self-empowerment is the key to living a richly rewarding and authentic life. All of her education, life, and career experiences and the companies she developed and owned center around the theme of living a bountiful life through creatively pushing boundaries and expressing inner potentials. She lives a life coexisting between right brain and left brain functioning, all the while aligning with a dynamic heart-brain interplay, with her heart being the leader. Ms. Dahlman received her BA and MA degrees from the University of New Mexico. She began her professional career as an art psychotherapist, licensed counselor, hypnotherapist, and artist back in 1987. For over a decade, she worked with multiple settings with varying populations, including her private practice and public workshops, while providing creative and expressive means for her clients to find health. She emerged as an accomplished leader with the art therapy counseling world after undergoing a life-changing event. She relocated to Southern California and entered the high technology industry of telecommunications as an entrepreneur. Without any prior knowledge of the skill sets required, Ms. Dahlman became the founder and CEO of CVC Inc., a consulting and utility design firm 12 years plus strong. CVC's team develops and implements underground and overhead power and telco design services and solutions to Fortune 100 wireless clients throughout the state of California. Today, Ms. Dahlman resides in the lovely coastal town of San Clemente, California, and remains at the helm of her beloved company, CVC Inc. She continues to creatively diversify its interests into new industries and challenge herself to express further potentials. She's written a book called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion, Volume 1. It's out and available, and she got help from the Ouija board to write this. Now, Karen, you're an accomplished woman, certainly somebody that is respected and looked upon as a forward thinker and certainly impressive in what you do. When people find out that you also use the Ouija board and you use that to communicate and get information, does that ever change their perspective? Are they like, man, you're so good. How did you do it? Well, I got some insight from the Ouija board. Okay, then.
Well, listen, I don't come out, the first thing I say is, by the way, Ouija board is how I make my decisions in business, and which I don't, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to turn some heads. No, I would say this is more of a thing on the side, and I say that because it's such an important part of my life in terms of anything that's therapeutic and helping people and helping myself and all the growth and development that I just can't get enough of, and I eat it up. But that doesn't necessarily come into my work like straightforward, this is what I do. Although, because of the work I do with the Ouija and the spiritual side of myself, it actually makes myself a lot better in business than what I do. And I think, really, truthfully, because I've explored so much of the other part of life, which a lot of people may not always look at or may be afraid of, has really helped me deepen myself in terms of all the work that I can do in my businesses. So it makes me a little bit more, I think, outside the box. Let's say that. I'm a little different and think outside the box. But I won't shake somebody's hand and go, yes, I do Ouija.
Okay.
That may come out later.
That comes out after they trust you and like you and realize, well, you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah, after I get the POs and the work, and then I go, okay, yes, Ouija.
Excellent. Well, when you're working with the Ouija board and you're sitting down, we were talking about you've had some negative experiences with the Ouija board. And how soon into working with the Ouija board in your illustrious almost 40 years of using it, did you start to have negative interactions?
Okay, I remember one time with my brother, we did the Ouija. I think he was in high school, I was in college, I was home visiting. And I remember he said, "Ticker, let's do Ouija," because we did it in class one day. I said, "What? You did Ouija in class in high school?" He's like, "Yeah, it's pretty cool." So I pulled my board out, we started doing it, and we had this person come on by the name of Ectua, Ectua. He said he was some psychologist and wanted to talk to us, and then he started getting angry when we would talk to him or ask him or say answer a certain question he had for us. He started getting angry and cussing, and I thought, there's something wrong here. We shouldn't be talking to this guy. And that's when I started realizing, wow, there's like some anger here, you know, and this may not be good. When I was in college, I was in a sorority, and I introduced.
Now, wait a minute. I got to play on this because, I mean, it's interesting that you do this. Now, you made communication with a spirit that got angry. Now, why was it seemingly getting angry with you?
Because we wouldn't respond to him the way he wanted us to. He'd ask us questions. We're supposed to answer a certain way or do the Ouija board a certain way. It was like control. And because we wouldn't, I wasn't going to. It was my brother. It started getting angry. It would say negative, angry things. And it just didn't seem right. And you know what happens when you start doing the Ouija too? You start to feel it. I mean, you can feel the movement in your hand. You can feel the energy shift. And at that time, I was pretty new to some of this, but I wasn't new to experiencing energies. Just as anger could come through the board by what it spelled out, that's an easy one, but also how I felt it was moving around the board very violently.
Well, now here's why I brought it up, and I thought it was so intriguing, Karen, is the fact that I mean, you've made a very big and great career for yourself working in the telecommunications field, correct? Right?
That's right.
Right, and if you know, just Googling, I wanted to pull up and see if there's any other stories that pop up, and ECTUA is also the European Council for Telecommunication Users.
Yeah, I know. I actually know that. It is so funny. But this guy said he was a psychologist or psychiatrist that lived many years ago. I don't even believe it. It didn't matter. I think what it was, just it could be a trickster. See, back then, I didn't know to use protective means. I didn't know to say an incantation, to use a certain intention, to come with it with protect the white light, to say my prayers.
But don't you think that's intriguing that even though it did that, it ended up also being an acronym for something that your life would be a big part of in the future?
Wow. You know, that's huge. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Who knows? Who knows where that came about? But, you know, it didn't give me any insight. Typically, when somebody comes through or something comes through and they have something like that big to say, there's insight. What I mean by that is they may not say the answers. They may say, look towards the future in maybe a year or two. You may see yourself in this type of position.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
There was nothing positive. So that was, even though you just found that correlation, that the negativity was just overwhelming. And I took this board back to my sorority in school and college, and everybody was really intrigued by it. And some of the gals there called me, I was a Satanist, and, you know, all the Catholics. And I don't want to speak against any religion here. That's not the point. The point is, yes, it was demonized. And it was demonized, you're right, because of the Exorcist movie. And because of the way the board looks, too. You know, it looks a little creepy at times. It has that look to it. But the bottom line was, I use it as a positive thing. But the dark side I saw that came out of the Ouija back then in college, I did a lot of experiments with it, was there was this dead sorority sister who I did not know, but she had died before my time at the sorority. And I knew her name, and I knew some stories about her. She came through the board and told me complete detail what went down at different fraternity houses 4 or 5 years earlier, who her friends were, gave me names, specifics, and I pulled one of the alumni in and said, you got to hear these stories. And she said, oh, my God, who told you? I said, I won't say her name, so-and-so on the board. She goes, no, come on, Karen, that doesn't work. I said, sit here and watch us. And so we blindfolded ourselves, myself and my friends, and she's blindfolded. Okay, now we can't see the board. Our hands are on the planchette, and it is bowing out rapidly, quickly, and communicating. They both were excited that the board, the entity on the board, the dead sorority sister, with the alumni, talking back and forth as if I wasn't even there, as if my friend wasn't there, because the communication was so clear. And they were laughing, like, remember when this happened? Ha, 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 it spelled out. And the other person was like, well, this happened. And that's what happens. They become so real. Well, because I didn't know about protecting and being careful with it, this is the perilous side of the Ouija, is that you can make spirits earthbound. That is to a detriment.
You can make them earthbound by using the Ouija?
Yes. That spirit did not want to move on. It wanted to be on the Ouija all the time. And in fact, when I put the Ouija away, I had this happen. I was laying in my bed. My other friend was in her bed because, you know, you're in dorms. It's like dorm room. You got two people in a room. Taking a nap between classes because we probably partied too much the night before. Laying there, and all of a sudden somebody touches me. And I said, what did you want? She goes, what? I go, did you not just touch me? She goes, no. it turned out we spoke to this gal so much that she was starting to manifest around the house, meaning she would knock things off the wall. She took a hat, threw it across the room, and these are things we all saw. She would make the sound. She touched people. And then one of my other friends in the sorority started using the board religiously where she wouldn't go to class. She got so, I call it Ouija obsession, so obsessed with the Ouija, she didn't go to class. And I said, I'm going to take this board away from you. You've got to go back to class. Because I felt it was my responsibility because I brought the board into the sorority. And here we were, people were going cuckoo with it. And so that's when it goes bad, is when you start bringing the spirits and making them earthbound. When really, spirits need to move on. They have another purpose besides staying here and walking the halls over and over and over again and communicating to us all the time. That's just not the agenda of what the other side's about.
Understandable. And you think, though, that by our directing that kind of attention keeps them from being able to move on?
Correct. Let me back up here. There's some spirits you can talk to. Now, I'm just talking about ghosts now, people that are stuck, that died, and maybe didn't move on. That makes them more want to stay. And sometimes they get angry. She started getting angry because I told her she had to go. And then she started cussing. I finally found a way to release her. But she did not want to go. It took several sessions. And this is when I started learning about spirit releasement on the Ouija. It was like an exorcism on the Ouija. And I'm not trying to be funny. Well, I am, but I'm not, because that's what we did. That's what I started learning was there are so many different ways to use the Ouija to, you know, help others that might even be stuck. And it wasn't just about my evolution. It was about their evolution, too, as a soul or an entity or an energy.
Do you mind if we take a few phone calls and hear some other people's experiences?
Love to.
Hold tight now. Looks like we might have a couple of darker experiences about to come through. Our joining us right now is Maribel from New York. Maribel, thank you for joining the show and listening in this evening.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Now, what's your story? Have you had a good experience or
no,
negative?
No, never.
Really? Okay. How many times have you used it?
I used it when I was much younger. I can't remember how many times I used it, but I could relate in the sense which she was talking about with her friend that it became an obsession.
Right.
Because I started to play with it by myself a lot. I think the first time I played with it, it was with my sister, the boyfriend I had at the time, and her boyfriend that she had at the time. And apparently he had like some weird experience while the boyfriend I had was making all of these sarcastic comments, and I got really upset because I felt like if he kept doing that, it wasn't going to work. And then I started to use it with her, but then it just came a point that I started to use it alone. Like I think I just became obsessed with trying to connect with something, whatever it was. And it seemed whatever I was connecting with was dark. Like there was a time that I had asked that if it was evil to show itself, and like some weird black bird flew at my window and just like stood there. And that really freaked me out. There was one night that I was playing with it and I put it back in the box and I leaned it on the side and the box fell open. And as I started to fall asleep, I heard like a whisper say exposed. And like I got up and I turned on the light and the box cover was open. It was like telling me to close the box. There was a time that my brother and I, we were playing with it, and it just started doing some weird thing where it just started spinning circular and circular, and then, like, it stopped. The arrow stopped on me, and I just felt this weird sensation like something went inside me or past me. It was just really, really weird. It used to say the same thing to me over and over again. Open the veil, pure ride. And to this day, all of these years, more than 20 years, and I have no idea what that message meant for me.
Now, it was saying open the veil, pure light?
Rise, R-I-S-E.
Pure rise.
Yeah, open the veil, pure. And then rise. It would almost like pause before it spelled out rise. And it just seemed there were just horrible things like happening as a result of me playing with the board. Like I started to see spirits, but I still see them. So I don't know if it's a result of the board or the board just opened up that door. But I believe that I do have like a third eye, and it's something that I really don't talk about. But
well, Karen, have you heard of that? That people that begin working and using the Ouija board have opened up that third eye or become more sensitive to those?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And I just want to say to Maribel, you sounds like you need a Ouija intervention. My friend did too. And you know, the truth is if you, and I don't ever use the word play because it's not, it truly isn't a game. It's a tool. Like, as Dave discussed at the beginning, there's many tools to the other side and other consciousness and other entities. I think what happened here is that you used it without, as I did in the beginning, as we all do, and make the same mistake, is use it without any kind of protective service or energy around us. And that's key. You must do that. If not, you will pull out all kinds of entities. And when you do, it's hard to close that back up unless you know how to do that.
Right. And I don't want, when you're 17 years old, I don't think you know anything.
Right.
Just being curious as to what was out there. But at this age now, no, I don't want to go near an Ouija board. I don't want to use it because it's not a game.
Yeah, I'm so glad you recognize that too, and it's true. It's not a game, and you said that. It's also, again, as we said before, it's not for the weak, and I mean that. I wasn't ready for it when I was doing it at the age of 18. I truly didn't understand that, and you know, I could see the ramifications of not understanding that. But it can be used as a very, very positive, enlightening, healing, growth-oriented tool. And so I will try some of these experiments that Dave even recommended to see what else can be contacted and helped along the way.
Thank you, Maribel. We appreciate you listening in and being a part of the show this evening. Let's grab Suzanne in Laguna Beach. And if you'd like to call in and weigh in on your thoughts of Ouija board, or if you have questions for our guest, Karen Dahlman, you can give us a call at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. We've got Suzanne in Laguna Beach, California, Joan in Minneapolis, Mike in Woodbury on hold. A few lines are still open. All right, Suzanne, welcome to the show. What was it you'd like to share with us this evening?
Hi there. Thank you. Well, I have a question for Karen. I've never used a Ouija board. I've always been intimidated and somewhat just afraid of it. But in listening to her speak, I understand that you could use it for good things and positive ways. So what I'd like to find out is how would you recommend I be introduced to the Ouija board the first time?
Great question, Suzanne, and thank you for calling in. Prepare yourself before you use the Ouija board. When I say that, you know, if you have your own practice of centering yourself, breathing into your body, finding yourself rooted into the ground, it's like a visualization is what I do before I start. And I'll hold hands with my participant, and I'll actually say a prayer, and I'll bring in the white light. I will visualize it. I'll state it out loud. And it's the same for you. You call in your guide. You call in your protectors. Whether or not you know who these entities, energies are, you call them in. And then you say, white light surrounds me, surrounds this board, and all that comes to this board. Only that which comes from the white light that surrounds me and protects me and speaks universal knowledge and truth can come forth. And that is all that will come to the board when you set your intentions. So I recommend having a practice of that anyway, and then when you start using the board, you do that first, and then you can start in with your questions. But make sure you have that centering focus first and the light surrounding everybody in that room and the board itself.
And Suzanne, you know, what I've spoken about in the past on the show is, you know, most people that start with the Ouija board that have weird experiences, many of them are doing it at a party. They're looking for a cheap scare and a thrill, and they've got that intention. And when you turn on that light, that is what's going to most times be attracted to you are going to be the things that you're afraid of, because they see that you're trying to make that communication. And, you know, that's when I think you start putting yourself in danger. The one beautiful point that I've tried to make over and over to people is it's cardboard and plastic, basically laminated cardboard and plastic. And if you ever feel threatened by it, you always have the ability to do something. You can put it back in the box, put it back up in the cabinet, and put it underneath the game of life. And, you know, and it's not going to jump off the shelf and come looking for you down the hall. You have the ability to step away if you have negative experiences with any type of communication device. You know, Frank Sumption, who has created the Frank's Box, which has become one of the most controversial and used, you know, tools out in the field. There's been so many different versions of it, the Spirit Box, the Shack Hack, so on and so forth. He even says, you know, when I start getting nasty negative comments, I know all I have to do is lean over and turn it off. they're not going to turn it back on. You know, it seems like that happens in horror movies. And I hear that kind of story horror movie wise or in a situation when they're already dealing with something dark. So I don't think that what you're dealing with in that case is, you know, it wouldn't matter what kind of tool you were using. You know, then you have a totally different problem on your hands. But if you go into it with a good intention and belief system, I think that like most things in life, if you go into it with positivity and looking for real answers, that's when you're going to get something that will be of the light or from a better place. As she said, if you've got that higher vibration and doing that. And I've actually had some people that I talked to that work the Ouija board, and what they will do beforehand is they will actually cause, and I don't know if you've heard of this, Karen, but they'll cause themselves to have a laughing jag and just get that energy up. Because, you know, when you laugh...
Yes. In fact, when I do the Ouija, some of my spirit friends, they think the energy is not high enough. They'll tell me to cheer, stand up and cheer and laugh. And we do that, and it raises the energy because it's like maybe we're too serious when we started, or maybe we're not quite, you know, at the level that we need to be. And so they'll ask us to do that, and that is what we do sometimes.
Right, and by making that happen, you're changing the parameters of the communication and that kind of energy. But thanks for listening in and being a part of the show this evening, Suzanne.
Thank you, Suzanne.
You bet. All right, let's grab another call before break. Joan in Minneapolis, welcome to the show, and what's your story? Oh, she's listening to us on the radio. Are you there, Joan? All right, we're going to come back. Joan, turn off your radio and wait for us. We will put you on hold and come back. Let's grab Mike in Woodbury. Mike, welcome to the show. What's your story?
Dave, thanks for taking my call, sir.
Sure.
I don't really have a story with the Ouija board. I've always been interested in that. I kind of take that back. When I was a kid, somebody else was using the Ouija board, my mom, her girlfriend, stuff like that. They started getting an evil kind of thing happened. Ever since then, I've been freaked out. And then, you know, thanks to Zach, Nick, and Aaron on Ghost Adventures,
right,
everybody else, you know, your friends, Dave, I've kind of been reluctant because every time I see those shows, it's always do not mess with a Ouija board.
Right.
You will open up something that you might not be able to shut on your own. And ever since that, it's kind of like I would love to communicate or try to get a hold of my father that died.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so reluctant to use it because after everything that I've seen with evidence of these evil entities and everything else coming through, even though you don't want them to, it still can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that could still happen, or shouldn't I be so reluctant to possibly opening up a portal that I don't even know that I'm opening? Or
well, I think kind of like I just mentioned to the last caller, if you go into it with fear and that, I think you draw things to you by doing so. There are other people who are very good, and maybe there are people that you know that work the Ouija board and get great results, and they can work as a medium for you to where you can have them sit there and ask questions. Now, that's going to be good for you too, because you know, one of the biggest fights that we have in the field is how much are we influencing the equipment that we're dealing with? And if you have friends that don't know specific things about your father and about your life together, and you sit in and you have them work the Ouija board and you ask the questions and they're able to answer you correctly, then, you know, that would take some of the human element out of it, that maybe you don't have to be as concerned that, you know, you're dealing with something in a darker force because, you know, possibly they're tapping into that. But again, if you don't feel comfortable, I always suggest just don't do it if you do have a fear. And, you know, I've told people fears, don't use the Ouija board. And again, for the main reason that when I get really bad calls and they need help immediately, 9 times out of 10, it's, you know, we started by playing with the Ouija board. But when you break it down to that basic element, okay, well, then nobody should play with the Ouija board. But when you start asking, what were you doing with the Ouija board? Well, you know, I was kind of into the occult at the time and witchcraft, and I was really trying to make connections with Beelzebub, and, you know, and then I can't believe it, all hell broke loose. Well, you know, you get what you ask for. The people that usually we hear from, and Tim can probably attest to this, when the Ouija board stories go bad, it's never, you know, I was trying to communicate with my mom, and, you know, it was just a simple conversation. She said, I love you, everything's fine here, and you really need to put an ice pick through your son's head. You know, we don't get those kind of messages. That's, again, Hollywood type material, and I have yet to have people tell me that they're getting that without, you know, seeing that there's something darker dealing with that beforehand. And I don't know where you weigh in on that one, Karen.
Well, I agree with you, Dave. You know, if you're afraid to use it, you really should not use it, because you will draw to you what you feel and what you think. And what you feel is even more so than what you think. If you're feeling trepidation, you're going to match that vibration. It's going to match you, and that doesn't come through. It'll be lower and lower entities. And that's not necessarily a judgment, but I just want to say it's entities that may not have the consciousness that you want to deal with. So I agree. And I also agree with the fact that if there's somebody that does Ouija well and you don't do it unless or be around unless they're protect themselves, as I suggested to Suzanne, the other caller, and then they don't know much about you, you will get some great insight, especially if they know how to use it. I've had some experience like that with myself, not knowing anything about the people that are sitting there with me, yet bringing out some brilliant information that there's no way in heck I would have known that stuff.
And I'll tell you this, Mike, I'll throw it out there for you. If you are interested in trying to communicate with your father, there is one set of mediums that I will always suggest and recommend you speak to, and that's Michael and Marty Perry at spiritart.com. I've been in their presence when they've done these readings. I've had them do readings for me that blew me away. If you're going to go out there, those are, you know, that is one couple that I have no qualms with recommending to people. And you can find them at spiritart.com. Tell them you heard about it on Darkness Radio and just reach out to them. But they are remarkable. And I have yet in 7 years of knowing these two had one person come back to me and say, I think they're garbage and they weren't able to connect. Everybody walks away crying and completely blown away, and they can do it over the phone for you. So you've got that opportunity. Thanks for listening and being a part of the show tonight, Mike.
Thanks for taking my call, dude.
Yeah, you bet. And, you know, the one thing, too, Chris Fleming, a good friend of ours, brought this up a while ago when dealing with the Ouija board. He said, you know, it's like wanting information on getting back into the dating life and picking up the phone and dialing a number at random. And some guy answers his phone and you begin asking him, how do I pick up chicks? What's the best way to do this? And this guy starts giving you advice and information. Meanwhile, he's in his mom's basement. He's 43 years old. He's got Cheeto dust on his chest. He's sitting in his boxer shorts and playing World of Warcraft and probably hasn't ever touched a real woman anyway. And, you know, how are you going to ask somebody that you don't know and that you don't know their expertise these life-changing questions? So, you know, a lot of times that's what you have to consider, too, is when you open yourself up to that, what are you getting the information from? If you're not being direct and you're just asking for anything to come through, that's, I think, another point when you can start getting into trouble. Our guest this evening is amazing, got a great book out there, Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion. And there's so many people that are looking to change their lives, turn it around, make something better of their lives. Here's a great book to get that started with, Volume 1. It's out and available through Amazon.com. You can go order it right now. And again, the book was written in part with the help and guidance from the Ouija board. We're going to take a quick break. We come back, we've got more with our guest, Karen Dahlman. More of your phone calls at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. And when we come back, we'll hear about Karen's experience with the Zozo phenomena. Stay tuned. This is Darkness Radio. Good evening and welcome back to the show. This is Darkness Radio, your home for the best in paranormal talk radio. 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. until midnight. Thank you for joining us here. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, Tim Dennis. Tomorrow night, Aliens in the Backyard. We're going to talk to Trish and Rob McGregor. Aliens in the Backyard, UFOs, Abductions, and Synchronicity. That's tomorrow night. Make sure that you tune in from 10 to midnight. Thank you very much if you're listening to us on podcast form. And remember, if you have any problems with the podcast, you can always go directly to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and find the podcast there. Link up again and listen to the shows there. And you can also subscribe and never miss another episode. Our guest this evening, Karen Dahlman, she's written a book called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion. That's Karen, K-A-R-E-N. Dahlman, D-A-H-L-M-A-N. You can find her on Amazon. And how do they find you on Facebook, Karen?
Well, I'm under Karen A. Dahlman on Facebook as well.
Oh, very cool. So very easy to find. Karen A. Dahlman. So go to facebook.com/Karen A. Dahlman, and you will find it there and be able to join her and follow along. If people have more questions or want to know about your insights, is it all right to contact you through that site as well?
Absolutely, and also there's a website for my book as well, which is on Facebook. So they can also go to my link, and they will find my link to my book and definitely make comments there, and that's the best place probably to talk about Luigi as well as the book.
All right, very cool. Let's talk. One of the stories that we dealt with a few years ago was the Zozo phenomena, which was an interesting storyline, and it seems to be spreading. This character calling himself Zozo, and no, not from the Led Zeppelin Zozo, but Zozo was showing up, and kind of a dark entity, somebody that was, you know, creating a lot of negativity, a lot of issues. What was your experience?
Well, you know, I didn't know too much about Mr. Zozo, and he called himself Mr. Zozo to me, and I don't allow that stuff to come through my board, and this is very shocking to me. This was last May, so not even a whole year ago. I had met this woman who professed to be this great psychic, and she proceeded to start talking about, like, as if she was doing a reading on me, and it felt really weird. She started saying things to me about me that were so unrelated. I stopped her, and I said, wait, what are you saying? You're not even talking about me. I can already tell you there's something weird going on. And then she proceeded to get angry with me and say, no, you need to zip your mouth and listen to what I say. And I said, wow, this is getting a little crazy. So I was really disturbed by that because of it just the whole way that went down. It's not a way I usually communicate with people. It's not a way that people typically communicate with me. It was weird. So I was actually shaken from it because there's a little bit more to the story. But I went back to my home, and I decided about a few days later to get on the Ouija board and just talk to some of my spirit friends about that. And what I learned was they came through and they said that there's some darkness around this person. And then all of a sudden, this entity kept going, Zio, Zio, Zio. I go, what is this? I said, I'm not going to allow this. I said, I need protective, you know, other entities around. We'll get some communication here, but we're not going to keep going back and forth between two letters. Then it said, I'm Mr. Zozo. I am a force that's with this woman. And I said, use this force, and I could feel it, the way it moved. I mean, I could, it's on the board. I can get an image of it, too. It said, I am of the dark side, dark color. And I said, you are not allowed here at all. And with that, I sent it away. It did say a few more things to me. It didn't go into all the detail that I actually found out afterwards about everybody else's experiences. But what I think it is, it's an energy. It's not so much one entity, it's an energy. And when you get this energy of operating at this lower level of, I don't know, relatedness with people or the way she was talking to me, it's almost like you got almost like you need an exorcism. Like you have a spirit attachment. I'm going to call it that for better use of words, like a spirit attachment, an energy attachment, which I think what happens is it keeps the person down, keeps them negative, and they just start attacking. And Mr. Zozo has become this name of this energy. That's kind of how I see it, and that's kind of what I learned from my other advisor entities that I speak to that are of a better energy.
Now, Spiritual Warrior today on Twitter, Dan Lopez mentions that, you know, for more positivity, Jane Roberts from Seth Speaks used the board initially and teaches and taught how to do the same. So, you know, there's another point where here she was getting remarkable understanding and information from somewhere, from this amazing energy spirit named Seth that was giving her insight. So, you know, there's another positive story of the Ouija board and the information coming through. Let's take another break. We'll come back. We've got Adam in Columbia Heights, Joan in Minneapolis, joining us with our guest, Karen Dahlman. We'll be right back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the show. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Join Dave, Tim, and Mally, even the rookie. We're going to be at Cooper's on Friday night right over here in the West End. Nothing formal, but come on out and have a non-Valentine's Day drink with us. And this is for the owners of the Lonely Hearts Club. What do you say, Tim? We just have a bunch of our listeners and friends that, you know, didn't have anything special to do on Valentine's Day. Even if you did, you can come along. But if you want to join us out at Cooper's for a drink, we'll be there at about 12:15 on Friday night. It'll be great to meet you, shake hands, say hi. Come on out and say hi to Mally, Tim, and I, and the rookie. We'll all be on hands at Cooper's having drinks.
I say you get there at 9. Just get there a little early. Start drinking.
They can't listen to our show.
Free game.
Well, no, you can on your
iHeartRadio on your iPhone or Android.
He's talking over
he's
you.
He's stepping
now,
on my touchdown call. I don't know.
He's new.
I know. So you get there around 9. Yeah. You just start drinking. By the time we get there 12:15, we'll all be pretty.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, some of us need a little bit more help than, say, Mally.
Why would you say that? The rookie is right here.
Well.
I mean, he's listening.
He is.
He's got headphones on.
You know.
You guys have
he's got that
half
girlfriend.
A head of hair between the two of you.
He's got that girlfriend in Canada.
Yeah, the Manti Te'o one that's up in Canada. Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What's her nickname? Is Catfish? Is that
what it is? Yes, Catfish.
All right. We're going to go back with our guest now. Karen Dahlman is with us, and she's written a book, and this is a great book for anybody looking to get their life on the right path and looking for insights and information. And the book is out available through Amazon.com, The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion. Go check out the book. It was written by Karen A. Dahlman, and she used the help of the Ouija board to get this book out there and made available. I hope that you'll check it out. Let's grab a couple more calls here, Karen. We've got two more lined up and maybe even three. It looks like we might have Jump joining us. Adam in Columbia Heights, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, sir. Thanks a lot for tuning in. What's going on? What's your story?
Yeah, well, I got a question. I have a really long story, so I don't want to take up everyone's time.
Okay.
I had an ex-girlfriend who passed away, and a few weeks after she passed away, I was at a friend's house. He had just moved in with some friends of his, and well, it was his sister, and so friends of his sister's. So there's some girls there, and they were all doing the Ouija board, and I didn't know these girls at the time. Like, I'd met them, but I was just a weird kid who didn't say anything, so I just had gone through that. So they were doing the Ouija board, and I decided to sit down with them, and we're doing our thing, asking, you know, is anyone there, and then, like, finally, after five, 10 minutes of that, we got a guy that came through. I can't remember his name, but there wasn't much energy at all behind, like, the planchet. It was just moving really slow, and we had asked him, you know, a series of questions, but one of them was, how did you pass away? And he said that he was hung. And my ex-girlfriend, it was ruled a suicide, but it was really mysterious circumstances, so there was no closure in the situation. And, so, yeah, that guy said he was hung, and then, like, the girls freaked out and dropped the planchet, and a minute later we picked it back up, asked if he was there, and it moved to goodbye very slowly. So after it went to goodbye, then all of a sudden we said, is anyone there? And then immediately it just went to yes, like it had all the force in the world. And so, like, everyone got startled, but we kept their hands on it and asked who was there, and it started to spell out my ex-girlfriend's name. And these girls didn't know her name. They didn't even know my last name. They, you know, we didn't know each other. And so, like, starts spelling out her name, and my heart starts beating, and I figure, you know, I got to deal with this. So I started asking questions to try to verify that it was her, and that she answered the questions correctly, questions that they didn't know and that I know I wasn't doing myself, unless it's, like, some kind of subconscious thing, you know. But so that said, after a while of asking questions to verify it was her, I asked one more, even though, like, I was sure it was. The planchet flew off the board like she was frustrated that I was trying to ask her more questions. And so, well, in the process, I'm sorry, one of the questions I asked was if she knew a friend of ours named Brian who had committed suicide, like, a week after she passed away. And he had legitimately hung himself. There was no question behind that. And so she said yes, and she said that I asked how he died, and she said hung. And so we had two people. First guy said hang, and then she said that Brian was hung, and I asked her how she died, and she said rope instead of hang or hung, which to me implies something differently. And so then, like, it ended with her asking me, like, it said, help me, Adam. I asked her if she was happy. She said no. And then she said, help me, Adam, and then goodbye. So I was just, like, stunned. I didn't know what to do with that. And I, later on in life, like a year later, I was working at a hotel. I met a guy that claimed to be connected to the other side. And he just had some very intriguing stories. And I believed that he was. And, like, I can't get into everything that happened with him. But he had made me aware that he believed that Leah was communicating with him. And so I had, he, like, told me everything that he had seen in a dream, and it was, like, expressing that her suicide was accidental and wasn't supposed to happen. You know, it sounds kind of funny, but, and so I had told her sister about that, like, a couple of days after he told me. And when I told her sister that, her sister, like, just broke down crying and thanked me and said that she said a few days ago that she just knew that all of a sudden her sister was okay and that she had crossed over. And so in that way, I felt that I had helped her and helped Leah by easing her sister's pain, who was her best friend. And so my question is, like I've been, you know, I've been kind of curious to go back to it and try to communicate with her. But at the same time, like if she's crossed over, is it, I don't know how it works if I start looking for her, if that like pulls her out of a place that she doesn't want to be pulled out of, you know, or like where if someone crosses over.
Well, now my understanding is, Adam, I believe, you know, they still have free will that, you know, if they don't want to communicate, they're not, it's not like you're using a spiritual shop vac sucking her back through the portal to heaven. Okay. I don't know, Karen, what do you make of that?
That's great. I love that metaphor. I agree with that. They do have free will. Just because you want to contact somebody doesn't mean they want to talk to you. And it doesn't mean that they may not. They may. But the other piece is this. A lot of people want me to contact people they've known that's died. I would say maybe 25% of the time, 20% of the time we can. And it's only because they're still present to provide something back to you to help you. But if they've moved on, and a lot of them move on, I mean, they go to the next realm of existence, and it could be reincarnation or just where they need to go next, they're not going to come back and talk to you. So you can do that. You could try it and dial them up if you want on the Ouija and find that out. But before you do that, I just make sure, though, you really do the whole protective part about it. And that way you're only going to pull in the energy that's good. You're not going to get some strange energy coming in and trying to torment you and pretend like they are that person that you want to communicate with. That's another thing that can happen. There's trickery that can happen.
Right. And you can always put out there, too, Adam, just say, you know, ask her, do you still need help? She had asked for help before, and you said you didn't know what to do. If you have any kind of religious background, simply pray and ask for the angels to come and escort her back, you know, help bring her back, help find this lost soul. And bring her peace.
I've definitely done that. I guess I was just more so trying to make sure that, you know, the vacuum doesn't happen.
Right.
Exactly know how that all worked. Didn't want to start messing with that if she was in a happy place and pull her back to somewhere she didn't want to be.
Well, you know, there's an interesting line in the movie Ghost Town. It was a comedy that was out a few years ago, but a really beautifully written movie. And in one scene, they basically break it down to the fact that ghosts aren't haunting us. We're haunting them. It's our need and desire and want to keep them here that often keeps them around. So as long as it's not something that's, you know, you're relying on and trying to make communication every other day or, you know, turning it into this weird thing, you should be good to go. Thanks a lot for listening and being a part of the show tonight, Adam. We appreciate it. Let's try to grab this call. Joan, are you there now? Joan, you missed your chance, sweetheart. Sorry, you got to learn the rules of radio. When you're on hold, just listen to the radio through the phone, and we'll get to you. I'm sorry, I don't have time to do that. Let's grab one more call here. Rhonda, welcome to the show. You're a friend of Karen's?
Yes, I am.
Does she owe you money? Are you trying to track her down? Is that the deal?
Hello, Rhonda. Rhonda's one of my friends who's an hour to get on through my laptop. I finally was able to get on through my iPhone.
Great. And, do you want to tell them who you are, Rhonda, what you do, that you understand what I'm talking about?
Oh, my gosh. I got on right when you were talking about Mrs. Zozo, and I thought, oh, my freaking God.
Right.
Are you kidding me? I experienced that with you.
Yeah, Rhonda does Ouija, one of my people that does Ouija with me. She does it very well. She's very centered in herself, and I trust that she does it. And one of the rules we have is there's never, ever any drinking or any kind of influence of anything when you are doing the Ouija. And so, yes, she's part of Mr. Zozo. She experienced Mr. Zozo, so she might have something to say about it.
What did you want to share with us tonight, Rhonda? We've got about 3 minutes left together.
You know, basically, it's just like, it's been an amazing experience for me. And what I've heard, even the short time, unfortunately, I've been able to actually connect to you guys, is that it's interesting to me that other people are also experiencing Mr. Zozo. I mean, it was kind of blew us away, because we always really protect ourselves when we're doing Ouija. And it's such a real thing, and I think that if you keep yourself centered, and I have learned so much in the presence of Karen. She's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Did you hear that, Rookie? Yeah. You can go ahead and use it because you're self-centered.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
All right. So now he doesn't have to be as worried. But no, so Rhonda, you do feel that, again, by using it in a positive way, you're going to get great information, or you're going to be in a more protected version,
oh,
correct?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely, definitely.
Absolutely, yeah. Definitely. That's pretty positive.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Absolutely. No doubt in my mind.
Right. Now, Karen, you were alluding to something about Rhonda, about who she is and what she does. Was that just about talking about the fact that she's the one that does the Ouija board with you?
I will never say somebody's name unless they want to say who they are. But, yes, she's one of the people that does Ouija boards, and there's several others that do. And because she is centered in herself and her beliefs, I will do Ouija with her. If she wasn't, I couldn't do it. And it would work as well. So we have some great experiences with it. Very positive ones that she was saying. This is one that came through that I told you I was shocked about as well. But after that, he's not allowed to come in anymore. We're done with him.
Well, thank you, Rhonda, for calling in.
Definitely.
Yep, I appreciate that. Have you known, I mean, we only have a minute left here together, but have you known in your work with it, have you come across anybody that has been, quote unquote, possessed because of the spirits that they dealt with through the Ouija board?
Yes, I have, and I have when I was a therapist. And whether people believe it or not, the phenomenon of spirit possession, and I actually have witnessed this and seen what has happened to people when they have the spirits attached to them through the use of Ouija board or through other means of opening up these portals as different divination tools you had spoken about. So, yes, it's a real phenomenon, and it really does happen.
Well, Karen, I can't thank you enough for joining us here, and will you keep me in mind when you write another book or you've got more insight or stories to share with us?
Absolutely. And in fact, I have a book in the working about my experience with the other side.
Excellent. And when do you expect that to come out?
I expect that in about another year.
All right, great. Well, our guest again is Karen A. Dahlman, D-A-H-L-M-A-N, Karen with a K, K-A-R-E-N-A-D-A-H-L-M-A-N. The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion, Volume 1 is out and available. You can tune in and check her out at facebook.com/ Karen A. Dahlman, and you can reach out to her there. Karen, thank you so much for being so gracious and hanging out with us this evening.
Thank you, Dave. I enjoyed it. Thank you to all your listeners for asking great questions.
Thank you. All right. We'll be back with you tomorrow night when we're joined by Trish and Rob McGregor. Aliens in the Backyard, UFOs, Abductions, and Synchronicity. That's tomorrow night on the best in paranormal talk radio here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, and TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.